Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. I'm your friend, Patricia Sen. My mission is to be a lighthouse for mothers with ADHD, helping you find your path to success by learning to appreciate your ADHD as an asset. I'm seeking to change the paradigm that ADHD means your life is doomed to be a hot mess. So I'm sharing strategies and encouraging you in your pursuit of happiness to love who you are every day of your ADHD life. Hey there, successful mama. It's Patricia. I'm so glad you're here with me today. We're talking about back to school. It is the end of July as I'm recording this, and I kind of can't believe that I'm talking about back to school in July because you get a little bit of this teacher PTSD when you talk about school in the middle of the summer. Because if you aren't aware, I taught both private and public school. I've taught grades 4 through 12. And nothing makes a teacher more sad when she like finally relaxes in summer and then all of a sudden Target popping up commercials about back to school sales. And you're like, it's July 1st. I literally just started my summer. Why are you reminding me it is coming to an end? But alas, here I am. So we are talking today about building a great partnership with your child's teacher. I wish I could like emblazon this on billboards for parents. Like having taught for so many years, like there's so many things I wish I could say to parents, but obviously teachers are really sweet and wonderful human beings that take the high road. You would probably be shocked at some of the things that have been said to me as a teacher, some of the disrespectfulness that I've received where people don't treat me like a professional. It's hard. Being a teacher is really hard. And I know people are always like, well, that one teacher, hey, y'all, there's always one. Like, you have that one coworker, you have that one neighbor, there's always one. But I would say in all my years teaching, I've taught at several different schools, 99% of my coworkers are wonderful human beings who have made sacrifices to earn a very tiny paycheck to make our children better human beings. So I want you to go in the school year with that mindset of like, this person is giving their life to make my child a better human. And just appreciating that sentiment and then knowing how can you use that partnership to make your child the best human possible. This person is going to spend as much, if not more, time with your child than you do, depending on your schedule, work life, how much your kid sleeps. Like, this is a very influential person in your child's life. And so we want to get off on the best foot possible. We want that person to know, I am here. I am supportive. I want to do whatever I can to make my child the best human being. And so any way that you are helping my child become the best human being, like, I'm here. What do I need to do? So the three tenets of building a great partnership with your child's teacher are respect, support, and communication. Now, I'm going to try really hard not to get on my soapbox because this is something I'm super passionate about, having been a teacher previously. And I already started recording this one time and then I realized I was getting too snarky and I had to back off and redo my chat here because I had lost my eye on the prize there. So I'll try really hard not to get too snarky. But let's dive in on how we can create this great partnership with our child's teacher. One, meet the teacher. There is literally a night at school called Meet the Teacher because this is so valuable. Even if you just pop in and like make a 2-minute appearance of like, hey, I'm so-and-so's mom. Thank you for making my child a great human. See you soon. Whatever it is, like just make a point to meet them somehow. If you can't be there on that night, maybe you make an appointment to, you know, have a conference with them later. Maybe just shoot them an email that says, hey, I couldn't be at Meet the Teacher night, but I value education. Thank you for making my child a priority in your life. Appreciate all you do, etc. Just that moment of contact to be like, hey, I recognize the work you're doing with my kid. Thank you. Next thing, read what they send home. The teachers put a lot of effort into all those emails and newsletters and online portals and websites and, you know, putting the grades online, all that stuff. Like, they're putting a lot of time and effort into those things.
obviously it's easier for them to contact 30 people in that manner and then just handle the one-off questions than to have 30 people contacting them directly. So try not to take it personally. It's just a matter of how do you get all these people the information they need in the most efficient way possible. And then also being respectful of the fact that that teacher put in 2 hours to make this adorable little newsletter of what happened in second grade this week. And they're going to continue to do that all year long. So be respectful of that time that they're putting in to communicate with you, because you are going to get teachers, especially the older your kids get, you're going to get less and less communication from the teacher, and the teacher's going to be directly communicating with your kid. So when you're getting that communication from a teacher, like, that's gold. Use that information that they're giving you to make your kid better.
Then the next one is ask questions. If something's not clear, a teacher wants to know so that they can make sure it is clear for everybody else. But like, try to read the stuff that they sent home first before you ask 100 questions, because you want to be respectful of their time and knowing that, like, if they're emailing you a 40-page response, that means that they're not getting their lesson plan done for the next week or whatever. Like, there's only so much time in the day, so, you know, don't be a time hog. So be objective in the way that you ask questions. You know, try to avoid an accusatory email tone, which is obviously very easy to, you know, that's the hard thing about emails, is that tone can be taken different ways. But you can phrase it very, like, factually of, like, hey, this is so-and-so, I hope you're having a great day. Johnny came home today, it's Wednesday, and he said he has to read this entire book by Friday. Could you shed some light for me on this one, as that seems like an awful lot for him to accomplish in 2 days? Chances are, your kid did not understand the instructions. Like, just being honest here, like, 9 times out of 10, a parent would write me and say, my kid said you said something crazy. I'd be like, that is not what I said. It would be things like the example of, like, he comes home on Wednesday and says he's supposed to read this book by Friday. Chances are he was busy chatting with his friend and didn't hear chapter 1 by Friday. Or your kid was not paying attention the last 4 weeks when we've been reading this book for 4 weeks. And yes, it is due on Friday, but he's known about it all this time. Like, no. That as much as you love your special snowflake, he's a kid. Like, there's a chance he was talking to his friend or looking out the window or thinking about his math test next period that he's really nervous about. Like, there's plenty of reasons for kids not to pay attention. And that's why teachers repeat themselves so many times. Like, that was actually an issue of when I first started teaching. My husband was like, you don't have to tell me everything 3 different ways, because I just got in the habit of explaining everything 3 times. But like, the teachers expect that. We know that 8-year-olds are only going to pick up so much information in like a set amount of time. That's why there is the website. That's why there's the flyers. That's why there's this instructional paper that you got with, you know, the rubric that tells you exactly what's expected of you. Just know, if your kid comes home and says the teacher said something that sounds crazy, they probably weren't listening, or they misconstrued it in some way. And then they start having a panic attack. I'm like, I have to read this whole book on Friday. And they like totally missed the part that it was like chapter 1 on Friday. It just happens all the time. And I know we don't want to think badly about our kids, so don't think of it as thinking badly about them. Just know they're kids. They are still learning how to be humans. And so they do goofy things. And if you think about it this way, like, the teacher does not send home an accusatory email every time your kid does something goobery. Like, trust me, kids do goofy stuff all day long. That's why I love middle school. They're hilarious. But I don't send home crazy note every time one of my kids would do something ridiculous, because like, I know that, like, you don't control your kid all the time. They're their own human, and they do goofy things like hide their nutritious snack that you gave them for the field trip and bring pixie sticks instead. Like, that's the kind of goofy stuff they do. But I'm not going to send you an angsty email about how what a horrible parent you sent in pixie sticks as a snack. Like, no, I know that your goober master planned this pixie stick thing all on his own, especially when, see previous part about like reaching out and getting to know your teacher. Like, I know what kind of parents my kids have. And I know if you're the pixie stick kind of parent, or you're the nutritional organic 7-grain crackers with artisanal cheese kind of parent. Anyways, getting off on a tangent. That one was ask questions. If your kid says something crazy happened, just ask a clarifying question if you cannot research the answer on your own. Chances are something got confused. Now, as I mentioned, there are times where like they might have been like writing on the board and talking at the same time. And maybe they did write, finish the book by Friday, instead of writing finished chapter one of the book by Friday because they got distracted by, you know, somebody pelting pencils at another kid or whatever. Like, that happens. Just ask in a very non-accusatory tone. It'll all get cleared up. If you glean nothing else from this episode, this is what I want you to glean. Do not talk badly about any part of school in front of your kid. Do not talk down about the school, the teacher, a project, having to buy school supplies. Like, literally watch your tone so carefully when you talk about your kid's education in front of them, especially when you don't think they're listening and, you know, you're off on the side. Like, they absorb so much of opinions and values from their parents in ways that we don't even realize. If you think your teacher is like the worst teacher on the face of the earth, that's fine. But like, you want to do your best to not show that to your kid. Here's why. Undermining that teacher, even if you don't like the way they do things, is only doing a disservice to your child. In terms of how it affects you, like, yeah, you're stressed out this school year, but as an adult, like, you'll adjust and move along next school year. But the way the teacher affects your kid this school year is going to stay with them. And if they don't respect their teacher and they don't respect education as a whole, it's really hard for them to learn, straight up. They will not take their teacher seriously if you're always over there bad-mouthing Mrs. So-and-so because of whatever. It doesn't even matter, like, what the why is. The only person that's getting harmed in that situation is your kid. And this is one of those times where we got to suck it up and put on our big girl pants and zip our mouths and not whine about the situation in front of our kids because we are only doing the disservice to our child. And I think that's so hard to do. Like, I know I'm saying this and it's so hard to do. But when you're complaining about having to buy tissues, you're telling your kid school's not important. That's the message they're getting, even if that's not what you're really complaining about. But please, 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 please phrase it in the way that, hey, I know we don't like blah, blah, blah thing, but this is a life skill. You are always going to have people in your life that you don't like. You are always going to have people at work that you don't get along with. You're going to have projects at work that you don't like doing. Like, even as a mom, if you stay home, like, hey, man, I don't like washing dishes, but you know what? I still got to do them. That's part of life, is dealing with things and people that you don't care for. You can find ways to mitigate those, obviously, but like, you can't avoid them entirely. So this is a time where, like, we have to put on our big girl pants and make this a life skill lesson on how to deal with things we're not fond of. But please don't talk badly about your child's teacher in front of them. It is only hurting your child. Try to get a little more cheery here. Okay. Next way to build a great partnership is check in with your teacher before the midpoint of the grading system, like whatever grading period you're on. A lot of parents would be in blissful ignorance until progress reports come out. And then it's like, ooh, hey, what a disaster. I didn't realize my kid hasn't been turning into homework all this time, or whatever it is. Like, ask questions about how your kid is doing the whole way. Your teacher might be on top of that and, like, sending home tests for you to sign and things like that, where you kind of have an idea of where they stand. But if you're not sure, then ask them. Ask the teacher how your kid's doing. Don't wait till 3 days before the grading period ends to ask what your kid can do to bring up their grade. Like, literally every grading period, I would have at least 3 kids minimum ask me how they can bring their grade up before the end of the semester. Chances are it was more like 10 or 20 that would ask the question. But, like, always there are kids asking what they could have done. And usually my answer was, you should have been doing your work the whole time. Every once in a while, you'll get the kid who has, like, an 89.4 and they want to know, like, how can I boost it up a smidge to round up to that 90? But most of the time, it was the kid who hadn't turned in 7 homework assignments. And it's like, dude, if you had turned in your 7 homework assignments, you would have had the next letter grade up. Like, a lot of school is participation points, as is life. Like, if you show up, you get credit for things. So if you don't show up and you don't turn things in, there's only so much you can do to try to repair that at the end. And usually it's pretty minimal. So keep on top of your kid. You know them. Do they need a check-in every week? Please don't wait till the end to try to fix the problem. Stay in communication throughout the full time so that you know when things are quickly going down the toilet and you're not trying to scrape the bottom of the barrel at the end. And then the last thing that I recommend is figure out what your child's teacher is really good at and then leverage that at home. Every teacher is good at something besides just like that specific subject that they're teaching, like whether it's like organizational skills, how to take tests and study preparation, like they all teach these other skills within the context of class. And so try to utilize whatever that teacher's doing well at home so that you can boost your kid ahead. Then the last thing I would suggest is just tell them thank you every once in a while. You don't have to like send over the top presents, but just an email that's like, hey, thanks for making my kid a better human. Thank you for talking to him after class about this question he had, or like whatever thing you can think of to just encourage them. Being a teacher is a really thankless job. They're not regarded with the level of respect that they should as people who take a lot of crap for working really hard. It can be a grind. It is so rewarding, and you find those rewards in watching your kids succeed. And when they get that aha moment, there's nothing better than that as a teacher to like see the breakthrough. But for you to say thank you, even if it's like in the pickup line at school, like, thank you, I appreciate what you're doing. Like, that just means so much to anyone. Like, I'm not just saying teachers, like anyone, just that little bit of thank you is so important. So mamas, I hope you can find a way to connect with your child's teacher, even if you are not happy with who they got this year. Just find a way to make it as rewarding as possible for your child. Eye on the prize. This is someone who is important to your child. They're influential. They can really make this year wonderful. So do try to encourage them as much as you can. And do that encouragement when you can in front of your kids so that they can see how much you value their education, that they can see you modeling this value and the respect and support, the communication that you have with this person. Because we're all just here trying to make our little people a little bit better. So cheers to you, mama. I hope that all of your teacher picking dreams come true and that your child has an amazing school year this year, that they have a strong friendship that they can count on, that they have a teacher who encourages them even when they're being ornery and they're struggling, that you find someone who's really going to make your child better. And sometimes we have to really dig in to find those positives. But I encourage you that it is worth the struggle and the hardship that it's placed on you to build that relationship with the teacher, to create that partnership atmosphere. Your child will greatly benefit from it. And that's really all we're trying to do as mamas. So you, successful mama, have an awesome week. If you hadn't had a chance to check us out on Facebook, we do have a motherhood and ADHD community that I'd love to have you a part of. We just started, and we'd love to have some more mamas in there with us chatting it up. All right. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to Motherhood and ADHD. For more resources, head over to our website, www.motherhoodandadhd.com.